is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
All right, and we are back here at the Off Track Show. What a break we've had since that final World Cup, since Steve Smith smashed it, took the World Cup win, took the overall, which as a Canadian, and we've talked about him lots here on the show, is impressive. Definitely a special moment that we had. So my name's Tristan Merrick. Again, the Off Track Show presented by BikeMag.com. A little break here, and we had our final Enduro World Series this past weekend in finale in Italy again. Started in sea level in Punta Ala and finishes in sea level. So pretty crazy to think that the summer is already over. The race series is already over. We've recapped everything. So the final show of the year. So for all you viewers at home, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And, of course, downloading these off of iTunes or checking them out on BikeMag.com and everything else. So today, a bit of a different show. Rather than just jumping in and breaking down what we saw at the race, we want to do more of a little recap. I don't have my trusty co-host here today. He's down doing the Bible Challenge in the desert. That's Seb Kemp. But instead, what we've done is we've recruited Darren Kinnaird from Crankworks and the Enduro World Series itself. So, Darren, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Tristan.
Thanks for taking the time. I know you literally were on a little excursion. You were down in the desert watching a bunch of guys in jeans hucking themselves off cliffs, trying to risk life and limb for a trophy. And then you jumped overseas after doing a little meeting, of course, down there, and then the finale in for the Enduro World Series. So, I mean, how have things been? It's been an action-packed summer for you.
Yeah, no, just coming off what sort of a dream bike work vacation down in Virgin, Utah there. Saw Rampage, did a little riding when we were down there, and then jumped on a plane from Vegas over to Finale Ligure in Italy, and got to do a lot of riding there as well, and yeah, attended the Enduro Mountain Bike Association board meeting, and yeah, it's a good little trip. It's been a great summer. It's just flown by. I mean, I think everyone, that was one of the comments that a lot of the riders had in finale, is like, wow, it's done? Like, where did these last 6 months go? But I think that's pretty typical of any mountain bike season. It's fast and furious, and everyone's having a good time, and it just goes in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, I think that kind of nails it. I know we'll be chatting with the TLD specialized Red Bull athlete, Curtis Keene, later on. But I know chatting to him prior to the final round, he's just like, it's here? Like, it just seems like the other day they were starting in Punta Ala and we're talking about, you know, the downhill, you know, downhill World Cups, and it's over and everybody's like, oh, okay. Like, you know, it's over. What do we do now?
Yeah.
What's next? So I think that's kind of a testament, I guess, especially for the Enduro World Series, just how much fun it is that from each and every round. Obviously, I'm a spectator. I've watched every round. I've tried to, I guess I'm technically media now, and I don't really think I am. I'm just some kid with a MacBook and MacBook and a couple microphones running around harassing athletes. But and then being a rider at the stop, the Whistler Enduro World Series stop, which, you know, for me, hats off to you, an amazing event in terms of either the trails that I get to ride all the time. But it was cool to connect with all these athletes and see what their take is. And, you know, I think at the end of the week, I walked away going, shit, I knew I lived in a special place, but where these guys have come here, you know, talking to Tracy Mosley, where she's like, I've been here to race. Yeah, you guys have a rad bike park, but it's what's outside the bike park what they're truly blown away about. So again, that event, I know I can't wait for it next year. I feel like Training starts January 2nd, not January 1st.
Yeah, I think a lot of eyes were open during the Enduro event here, the SRAM Canadian Open Enduro, and people got to see what was outside of the bike park. And, you know, we have a really special product here in Whistler. And yeah, hopefully people here recognize that.
Yeah, exactly. So you've been to, you're part of the Enduro World Series board, but then you're also a host of two of the events from this past summer, the Whistler stop and the Crankworx France stop, and then you're in finale. I guess straight up, what was your biggest surprise that you saw throughout the entire summer of the Enduro World Series? What was one thing that just made you go, holy crap? Like,
I think I would, you know, people's enthusiasm and the coverage of the event, you know, I mean, it rivaled World Cup easily, and I think that's what surprised me the most. It was kind of like, whoa, what have we not what have we done here, but what have, you know, like,
what have we created?
Yeah, like, what have we started here? And you know, from the early, you know, we knew there was an interest. We knew that people would be keen to be a part of it. But excuse me, when we put the registration online for it to sell out, you know, in France and Crankworx, Les Deux Alpes in 10 hours, and for it to sell out here in Whistler in 24 hours, those initial couple hundred spots was like, wow, we're really onto something here. So yeah, I mean, the coverage and the interest we knew was there, but to the level that it was at was really overwhelming, but like refreshing and awesome, and yeah, you know, we've got something really cool here. So
well, it wasn't just you know, it wasn't just a hype word that people were throwing out on Twitter and the internet, you know, like
sure it seemed was, like it.
it did, you know, like just even thinking about creating this podcast, I'm like, yeah, you know what, I want to cover, there's an Enduro World Series, let's cover it along with the downhill. And in this, you know, before it even started, it's like, man, there sure is a lot of talk. Like, is it gonna live up to the hype? Like, is it gonna excel? And I think it did way more than that I could have ever imagined, looking in at the sport and partaking in it. In terms of, yeah, you know what? There's rounds that almost every round had a little hiccup in terms of, you know, finale had stage four cancel. Here in Whistler, we had you know, lightning strike where things are delayed, but it didn't. Like, nothing was, the vibe of the event wasn't wrecked. Nothing was like it, people weren't pissed off at the end. It was just like, and I think that's the vibe of the Enduro, is everybody was just like, you know what, whatever, we'll just take it as it comes. So
yeah, I think it boils down to passion. Yeah. You know, I can't say enough good things about Fred Glow, Enrico Gualla, and Chris Ball. I mean, the passion those three guys have shown towards this sport is, you know, unmatchable, unparalleled. And, you know, the direction, you know, we sort of took it as, you know, Chris is a part of the sort of, I don't know, the ownership of what, yep, is the Enduro World Series and EMBA. But, you know, the other three of us sort of looked like, you know, we've got our own things we're running, but let's put our trust and faith in Chris to sort of drive this thing. Yep. And he's done an amazing job, right? It's been, you know, the four of us created this vision and he's really helped execute it this year. And I can't thank him and the other two guys enough.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, right? You hit it. We have all these established events that already, you know, pre-existing out there, especially with Fred and Enrico. They've been doing it for, you know, almost 10 years, some of them 10 years, to kind of, smart for him to have this business model. You know what, I'm going to partner up with all these guys. Crankworx is a huge brand in itself, bring everybody in. It's cool to see every round this year quite different and still leaving. It wasn't coming in, this is how you're going to run, this is how the Enduro World Series events are run. Yeah. Hey, how do you guys run your stuff? Okay, let's, you know, you have your North American flair, you have your Super Enduro flair, you have, yeah, you kind of had all those elements. So, yeah, Chris, he knocked it straight out of the park. And you know, next year is going to be pretty insane, I think. So
yeah, let's just say I got a few good stories for when Chris goes into the Mountain Biking Hall of Fame that I'll share as induction ceremony.
Sounds good.
From the first year.
Yeah, sounds good. So I mean, yeah, I mean, we had all these amazing series, we had these amazing rounds. Jerome walking away with the overall at the end there, and taking quite a few of the stage wins, taking quite a few of the rounds. What do you take out of him and Jared? Because those, you know, they seem like kind of two slightly polar opposites. They love riding bikes. Jared has excelled on everything two wheels. He's an Olympian BMXer. He's, you know, he's won four cross how many million times. He's dual slalom. He's won that how many million times. Like, I was looking today, I'm like, okay, so this guy got second overall in the Enduro World Series. He's won the Enduro World Series stops. He also went to Sea Otter and won dual slalom. Oh, he went to the Worlds for downhill on the same bike.
Comes and third.
Yeah, comes in, gets a podium. I mean, what do you take from these kind of top two guys?
You know, a lot of people point to the fact that there's, you know, there's some experience to be gained from competing in this discipline for so many years by Jerome. And, you know, that's possible that's what gave him the advantage. But, you know, Jared's in incredible shape. He's an incredible athlete, incredible mountain biker. And, you know, it wasn't like, you know, they rode together quite a bit, especially in finale, yeah, on the liaisons. And, you know, so it wasn't like one was beating the other to the top and then spending a bunch of time getting ready or, you know, any of that. So really just came down to how they handled their bike going, you know, through the special stages. And, you know, like, I guess you could look at Jerome's experience doing this pretty much full time for the last X number of years. But, you know, they were so close. So it's tough to go, you know, what was the difference maker? Yeah. You know, perhaps I think one thing that can be pointed to is, you know, what they focused their pre-race, like the days leading up to each event, what they focused on training-wise.
Yeah.
You know, that was evident here when, you know, Jared said he spent most of his time on the final stage. You know, and so he kind of knew where he could push it, where he could, you know, let up a little bit. Whereas I think Jerome took the Whistler event in particular as more of a holistic approach of how the whole event would go. And, and that may have cost him a little bit. But, you know,
what Jared did on that final stage of here in Whistler was
kind of mind blowing.
You know, I've ridden that a bajillion times and it was just like, he did what? How much did he carve out of, you know, like I got to ride with Jerome at Crankworks and it was, he's an amazing, talented bike handler for like such a little guy. All of a sudden he just picks up and takes off, does lines that I never thought, you know, I would do on trails. I've done, you know, quite a few times, but what Jared did to him on that final stage was served notice.
Yeah. And then they were super tight the whole way through finale. You know, super, super close. And I think they would have, you know, the other event that I was at was Crankworx Les Deux Alpes, and I'm sure they would have been a lot closer, you know, had Jared not blown through tape or climbed back up. And, I mean, that one stage at the beginning of the Enduro and Crankworx Les Deux Alpes had a huge climb in it that's probably where, you know, Jerome won that race. There's no question. Had a big climb in the middle. But, I don't know. It sets things up for a very interesting 2014.
Yeah, exactly. It's... You know, like, how are these? I know when I'm going to chat to Curtis later on, ask him, like, what are you going to do different, you know? Because he had a pretty good first year. I mean, that's the one thing, I guess, is all these rounds that are in Europe, Jerome's raced them many times, you know? He knows how those trails and those tracks play out. Jared, completely new to it. Same with Curtis. It's, you know, how do you adapt? How do you figure out these new trails? Yes, you know, there are trails that hadn't been raced before, but... you know, if you've ridden that sort of landscape before, you know where to push, how the trails are going to ride. So, talking to you beforehand, you said you're over there, and you're like, it's different, you know, like it's different from over here, and I'm intrigued to see what Curtis has got planned for the off season. So, and let's go into kind of the other polar opposite. What was you know, what's a disappointment of the year? Was there somebody that maybe got caught off guard in your eyes? You're a massive sports fan, and was there somebody that you think that was like, you know what, they have way more potential and we're going to see that potential next year?
Yeah, I don't know that there was anyone in particular that I was really disappointed with. I mean, there's more things that kind of surprised me throughout the year. You know, I thought like Anna Kabir's team would have been a little bit higher in the overall standings. She had a couple of mechanical issues throughout the year and some injuries that held her back, but you know, I think she'll be back stronger in 2014. I think her teammate Curtis Keane, you'll be talking to him later, but you know, I wouldn't say it was disappointing, but I guess I expected more. But I mean, you know, it's that clash of sort of what has been North American enduro, air quotes, versus what is enduro in Europe in the purest form. And you know, he'd always done really well in North America, but you know, it's a whole other ball game over there. You know, I think you know, I actually thought Renee Wildeber would have done better at the final one, and then I, in fact, put my money on him, but because I thought he would be healthy. And
considering he did pretty good with broken ribs earlier in the summer,
like I thought, oh, okay, he's, you know, he's got this. He did really well here, and as an opportunity, there was a, you know, that huge break there. I was actually kind of surprised that, you know, there was a huge break between Valdezere and Finale, but nothing really changed in terms of, you know, the rankings, the standings, how people rode.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a pretty big gap, and I actually expected to see some changes, but
somebody come out swinging a little bit.
Yeah, just like, you know, like it's the last one of the year, I'm going to... you know, I'm going to train my ass off for this last final event. And, And you didn't really see that. And in fact, you know, surprisingly, well, maybe not surprisingly, but, you know, Drome still on top. Jared, yeah, right behind him.
Right behind him. Well, it was interesting. There's a, watching the Dirt TV video that came out this week, and, it, you know, they're talking to Fabian. He's like, he's pretty much saying, like, I'm ready for the season to be over. Like, I'm tired. So it was, I think having that last round, a bit of a delay is cool to see, because it doesn't let riders kind of let their guard down, you know? It's like, yeah, no, you want to still be that final round and be third like you did. You still got to push, even though you're like, you know, I live in southern France. I want, there's the beach right there. Yeah. I want to hang out and relax. And yeah, it's the way the schedule worked. And but yeah, it's still the same results. And I guess, surprise, Martin Mays, you were there.
Oh my God. the kid's an animal. Like, yeah, it is amazing that he is only, I think he's 16. We're trying to figure this out. He was 15 at the start of the year, and he's 16 now.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, he's just a machine. And, you know, at such a young age to be such a high-level athlete and to sort of have figured enduro out already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the future is very bright for that young man in this sport. And, yeah, I think it's, there's no one else even close to competing with him at his age level. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting in a couple of years when he joins the full professional men's rank there.
Yeah, I know we talked when we had Fabian and Jerome in the studio earlier this summer, they're talking about how there's, you know, kids now aren't just coming up where they want to be professional downhillers, you know? I mean, there's this, it's a new sport. People want to be professional enduro riders. And yeah, he's ahead of his game. It'll be interesting to see in the next couple of years, are we going to see some kids kind of come out of the woodwork and you know, maybe not battle it out with him, but are we going to see young riders getting developed from a very early age, you know, because enduro is such an accessible sport, you know?
Yeah.
You just have to have a bike, 5x5 or a 6x6 bike, and trails anywhere. And you don't have to have a chairlift to take you to the top, or a shuttle truck, you know, your mom driving you laps. Like Stevie Smith was fortunate enough as a kid. Are we going to see some amazing riders kind of develop over the next few years? So
hopefully we'll see some good Canadian kids get involved.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, we got Jesse Milovic. Unfortunate what happened to him in that final round. I mean, I think what we saw out of him at Whistler, and then Joey Schuessler, what we saw out of him down at Winter Park. I know we had him on earlier this summer, and you say him that Yeti's already given him the kind of full green light. Hey, you want to do some more rounds? Let's get you to some more rounds. One, you can keep Jared company, and two, like, you know,
it's a huge opportunity for the brands to get involved. It's something new. Yeah. It's, you know, they're obviously all very interested in it. It's, you know, we were hearing rumors of some of the teams that are saying, you know, that they were in Finale coming to check it out, and that they're going to have full factory enduro teams next year, and a little bit of rumblings of athletes shifting teams. Ooh, and going here and signing there. Really? Nothing that I can share, but it's already started, which is kind of cool. So
team rumors on Twitter, there'll be some interesting drawings coming up here.
Yeah.
It is not Sven Martin. We have confirmed that. I have talked to him. It is not him, because he works for most of those teams. So, but yeah, I guess, I mean, you play such a major role at Crankworks, and with sponsorship stuff. I mean, what do you see coming in the future with the Enduro World Series? Do you see a lot of sponsors that are like wanting outside, especially outside sponsors? Are we going to start seeing some mainstream stuff coming in to support this as a sport, or is it still just too early on in its development?
We, when we first sat down to form the Enduro World Series, we made it very clear from the beginning that we wanted this to be different. That we wanted it to be inclusive, and that, you know, we weren't going to seek sponsorship. That it was something that we wanted to bring. I mean, the events are already there. The events have their sponsors. We wanted to bring this series to the athletes, to the industry, you know, as almost an outlet for them to use, for the media to get involved in. And so, you know, we've set it up as sort of a supportership model, where you can support the Enduro Mountain Bike Association at various levels, and, you know, there's little benefits associated with that, you know, reserved entry for some of the teams or the riders of the teams, some pit space stuff at some of the events, pit space discounts, things like that. So, you know, it was really what we as a group could offer to the athletes and industry. But not to make it exclusive for anyone, you know, try and involve everyone, because that ultimately in the end, hopefully, you know, everyone wins sort of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of lost where what I want to say there, but I had another thought, so it'll probably come back to me in a second, but yeah, and that's I don't see us going down the road of sponsorship, exclusive sponsorships.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this. One of the things that we've talked about offering for next year is opportunities for the brands to get involved in sort of a trail fund.
Yeah.
Where, you know, a certain portion of their supportership will go towards local off-road cycling communities,
yeah,
like Orca, for example,
yeah,
to help maintain, build, develop new trails for this sport and kind of give back to the communities that you know, we're doing this in. And so, you know,
rather come pillage trails and then,
yeah,
leave,
I mean,
and it's not a sustainable business model,
and
right?
That's not what this has ever been about, right? Like, we're trying to be as conscientious about everything from, you know, the trail building to trail maintenance to media access to, you know, listening to what the athletes want, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's an important opportunity for us to give back to these communities, and you know, because it is, you know, it's an important. It's a great opportunity and it's a great privilege for us to be able to do this and organize these events. And so,
yeah,
we don't want to just take it for granted.
Yeah, exactly. So that's cool to hear. I mean, in terms of letting each event more or less keep their sponsors, develop their own relationships with their sponsors, and then you can support the Enduro World Series, not be a sole sponsor and give back. Because that was the one thing I saw here, you know, like, yeah, the trails get a little bit of abuse because there's lots of riders on it. Fair enough. At the same time, that's just how riding is. I know there's lots of message boards, people ranting about trails getting wrecked. I think that's the furthest thing from the truth. It's just the evolution of riders in town, you know? Everybody, it's not that everybody's racing, but I know for me, I ride the trail pretty much the exact same, regardless if it's on a stopwatch or not. So.
Yeah, I think right now, especially, I don't talk too much about Whistler, but let's talk about Whistler.
Yeah.
You know, the Whistler Valley has this untapped tourism gem of the trails in the valley.
Yeah.
And I really noticed that in Finale. Like, they decided in 1996 that, you know, yes, we're a beautiful beach community, or a beach resort, but what can differentiate us from Nice and Antibes and all that stuff on the,
yeah,
French side, or, you know, San Remo, and they decided to start investing in becoming a mountain bike beach community.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of trails here in Whistler that the rest of the world just doesn't quite know about yet. And I think it's through events like Enduro, the media covers those. I mean, a lot of the guys that were here hadn't spent much time outside of the bike park, and they,
yeah,
were blown away by what, like, Chris Ball himself, he's like, I've never ridden outside of the bike park, and this is this is unbelievable what you guys have here. You know, and so I kind of feel like the SRAM Canadian Open Enduro, presented by a Specialized, is that sort of vehicle and opportunity for us to showcase that and have the media cover it and have the athletes go out there and talk about it. So, you know, I mean, I've been talking with Jerome at Orca and just kind of big picture plan stuff. And,
yeah,
you know, we did put some money into Orca this year for maintenance of trails. And you know, we plan to do more of that and you know, hopefully we're in a position where we can do everything from, you know, trail building, trail design, to trail maintenance, and,
yeah,
sort of complete that. That, you know, we are giving back into the community and
that whole umbrella.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. So that we're creating new trails that will just further enhance our mountain biking tourism product that we have,
yeah,
in Whistler, because, you know, we've really developed a whole new summer tourism product, and it's pretty valuable. I mean, the number of people that now have year-round jobs here in Whistler, it's amazing. It's great.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I think the coolest thing, right, is you can come here, ride the bike park, you start in the bike park, you go up to the top, you do a top of the world lap, then you duck out, go down Ride Don't Slide or Kyvers, and then you can skirt across the valley to the west side flank after doing some function trails. Like, what we raced on is what you can do on a regular day of riding,
yeah,
you know? And that's, for me, I think the coolest thing. Like, you know, that ride itself that we got to race, that was something I'd done pretty much before anyways. Like, hey, let's go out and do a little adventure today in town, you know? So it was cool. So cool to see, those guys that have always come here for Crankworx, but have only had one bike, you know? They're on a bit of a time frame, and they're not a budget to have two or three bikes with them. And just amazing to see their point of view. And then, of course, guys that hadn't been here before, like, you know, Jerome had been here, but again, only in the bike park a little bit, to see his... how mind blown he was by what we had. So, going forward, I guess, into 2014, what do we have to look forward to? Do we have some rule changes? Do we have, I mean, we know we have a couple new venues, which are, I think is awesome. Going to spice things up rather than we're going back to the same place. Riders know what to expect. They're going to be kept on their toes, a new place. Nobody's ever ridden, you know, really down in Chile and stuff. So What do we got going forward? What do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, obviously, we have the three new venues, the one in Chile, and then we have the Tweedlow Festival up in Scotland, which I'm hoping to get to myself. And then we're in La Tuile in Italy. I think it's the middle of July.
Yeah.
So we have three new venues. You know, we spent a fair bit of time last... What day is it? It's Friday. That was like 3 days ago. Yeah. Holy smokes. Seems like 2 weeks ago. On Monday, the day after the race and finale, talking about, you know, Chris brought a lot of the feedback from the teams and athletes to us. And we're trying to create certain standards amongst the races. And... you know, so that it's easier on the athletes, so they don't have to learn new rules every time. In particular, the events, like the events that are in France and Italy, are run under those national federations, whereas everything else isn't.
Yeah.
But trying to create standards for all events where the penalties are the same, so there's not a different set of rules.
Yeah.
You know, here versus Winter Park versus, you know, finale, right? So just trying to clean up those things to make it easier for the athletes to understand similar type penalties and things. You know, we discussed format and trying to run the events into the same format, but that presents a whole whack of challenges, you know, for us, for them, etc. We're hoping to just make it easier for the athletes to understand going into 2014, and keep the flavor of each event as its own.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, having each one, you know, its own individuality within each of them. And I guess for everybody listening, when could we expect to see these new rules rolled out in terms of just if anybody's wanting to do it so they know ahead of time? Like, is this something we can expect in January, February sort of thing? Or
It's a good question. I don't know that we really nailed down timelines. Yeah. When we left there, I know Chris was heading off kind of on a vacation to Austin, Texas. He was going to do a wedding in Austin, and then they were going to do some climbing. No, I think once he gets back home in a couple of weeks, he'll start to sit down and rewrite that. I mean, we were literally in the rule book writing new things as we're going, just making notes and stuff, which is really cool. But I think he'll clean that up, and I'm sure we'll see something, don't quote me, but end of November, early December. You know, people, they want to know, they want to be able to plan accordingly. Yep. So sooner the better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it's a race series from a rider for the riders, so it's such a cool thing. Parting thoughts before we before I let you go here for this morning, and before we kind of call it a day here. I mean, it's the final podcast of the season, so parting thoughts.
It's been an incredible year for us here at Crankworx. You know, our second year in Ladies Alp was another huge success. The slope style event there was probably the best slope style event I've ever seen. So kudos to those guys. They stepped their game up every single run. You know, we celebrated the 10th anniversary here. It was a huge success. Can't thank people enough that came out and cheered and partied and volunteered and worked on the events. The Enduro World Series in its first year, has kind of blown the four of us away, and we can't thank people enough for their support of EMBA and of the Enduro World Series, and thank the athletes for bearing with us as there was definitely growing pains from event to event to event, and they were really understanding and worked with us to help make it better, which is so refreshing. Thank the media, Dirt TV for doing the coverage this year. It was overwhelming, the interest, and can't thank those guys enough for coming out and checking out the events. And yeah, I cannot wait till 2014. Big plans for everything, for all those platforms. And if you ever get into the freeride mountain bike side of things, we can chat about that too.
Well, who knows what the future holds for off-track. Who knows? That's for sure. I mean, it was, like I've said since the start, it's like a little ragtag idea. Let's make something happen and cover it on a different way, a different platform. So I feel the exact same way about the Enduro World Series and, like, thanking all the riders and everybody else. But, thanks for taking the time here to join us here on the Off-Track Show, presented by Bike Mag. And we'll let you go. We'll let you go back and make up some more plans for next year.
Sponsorship decks here at my desk.
Exactly. More money means bigger events and better events. So, again, Darren, thanks for taking the time. And we'll go on to our next guest.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
It was great to catch up with an organizer of such a large event there, Darren Kinnaird, Crankworx general manager, and all around good guy. So sounds like there is lots of exciting things in the future here for the Enduro World Series and all the riders. And I think he summed it up perfectly in terms of how the season is and just how stoked everybody is on everything. So now we've had an event organizer's point of view of how the season went. Let's get on to our next guest right now. None other than the Specialized Factory rider doing it for TLD and Red Bull. We've got Curtis Keene join us all the way from sunny SoCal. Curtis, what are you up to right now?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me. I'm at home, sunny SoCal, and it's officially off season. So yeah, I'm a happy kid. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad, dude. I mean, it's funny. I was like, holy smokes! It's all of a sudden, the final race came and went in the Enduro World Series. It kind of felt like yesterday when we had you actually in the studio when we were talking about downhill, talking about the Fort William DH, and catching up with you before the Enduro season really kind of kicked off there. And I wanted to end the final one with you because you've been through it all with the first year of the Enduro World Series. I mean, how was the inaugural year for you?
And I have to say, overall, it was a success. As you can tell, it was well received media wise, riders in general. Like, we're all pretty kind of bummed out at the end there. A bunch of us were standing at the stage six before the final go, and it's like, oh man, this is the last one. And we're kind of bummed out because it's just been such a great time all year, racing these things. And it's just good people out there, and it's kind of sad to see it end. But yeah, so. I think it was a huge success. Sponsors, everyone's been really, really happy how everything's turned out. I had a blast. My season didn't go as planned, but hey, man, that's racing. So it was the first year, live and learn. But it was never any learning experience. All the venues were cool. They were every spot like had its own flavor, whether we're in France or Italy or Winter Park, Whistler. It never got stale, man. And it was just kind of always kept in the toes. And it was rad. So I wouldn't say I'm counting the days, but I'll be counting the days about a month here. So I'm just kind of relaxing and letting it soak in and enjoying home now. So it was good. So, I'm sure 2014 is going to be even better. Judging by the calendar too.
Yeah. I mean, and talking about venues too, I mean, I guess you're fortunate you've traveled a lot with downhill and everything else, but it was cool, I think, talking to every guest we've had on this year is, as much as you're going to a new venue and it is a race, unlike downhill, right, you go there, you practice one track and only one track, and with the Enduro, you're going over there, you're kind of, it's as much as it's a race, you're still getting over to like almost explore and go travel around and see and ride lots of different trails. I mean, is that what kind of made it so special? Is, you know, it's an adventure just to go to the race besides the whole doing the race run and doing the stages?
Well, that is enduro, right? Or whatever, like that's enduro is adventure. I really think it is, especially in a Italian format where we're climbing everything. We're, yeah, like you said, we're venturing off and exploring all this new terrain within the city or area. And yeah, I mean, it's an adventure. So we're checking out all these new trails and just it's never ending, man. It was special, to be honest. So I kind of got lost there for a second. I had someone tapping me, so sorry about that.
That's all good.
Yeah, so it was an adventure, like I said, and everyone was really, really stoked on it, including myself.
Yeah, and is there like one stage, I guess, because you're at so many different places, is there one stage that really stands out in your mind as like that you'd just love to go there and shred over and over and over again?
I think all of them. I think every venue kind of had a stage that really stood out. Whistler would be stage 5, and I could ride that all day from top of the world down. Finale, stage 5, again, it was the stage of the weekend where everyone's like, oh man, I just want to ride that one all day long. Just let's just do laps on that one, because it just had like a good flow, a mixture of terrain and variety across the board. I don't know. It's kind of a tough question. I probably have to say stage 5 in Whistler, just because Whistler is special, and it was probably the ultimate stage in terms of the test of the bike. Yourself physically, the variety of terrain, it was a pretty special one. So yeah, that's mine, I have to say.
Yeah, no, I obviously not getting to race any of the other ones other than Whistler. I agree with you there. I know I'm gonna do things a little different before I get to race that next year. I was like, okay, you know what? That tested the bike. I did not have things set up the way I should have. It tested me. I don't think I've ever felt so flat on a bike at the end there. You're just hanging on for 20 plus minutes, just hoping. You're like, okay, I know where the finish line is. I just gotta make it there. Don't make a dumb mistake, you know. So it's
or hopefully your bike makes it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I remember riding that last year in 2012, and my first run down it, I was like, I just want my bike to survive. I was really just wanting, I don't know, want my wheels not to explode or not get a flat, or because it's so brutal. You're used to riding Whistler on a downhill bike and then doing it on a trail bike. You're just like, oh my, this is rowdy.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, please bike, please make it down. I know that was kind of my thoughts through the first few stages. I was like, you know, it's 55K. I was like, it's not a question of me making it to the finish line. It's a question of my bike making it to the finish line. And I guess that kind of leads into something I did want to touch a little bit with you is, let's not beat around the bush. You're a top level racer. You're in contention every weekend to be in the top 5 group. Looking at stuff though, you know, you did get kind of bit by the mechanical bug there. You got bit in Whistler, obviously in stage 5. And then, unfortunately this past weekend at stage 1, I mean, is it just really luck of the draw, or is there kind of in your head, you're like, you know what, I can change a few things setup wise rather than run a lighter set of tires, I can run a heavier set and less risk, or what's it in your head in terms of risk management with your bike?
Well, at the end of the day, it's my fault. I'm not making any excuses. So it's like I hit that rock and whatever. Some good luck is definitely good at times or good to have, and bad luck or in case of that's racing. I mean, it is what it is, man. So, but it definitely teaches you the things about like bike setup, and it makes you really appreciate someone like Jerome and Jared Howell, especially Jerome, who's there every weekend, and I think he encountered like one flat and maybe crashed like twice. So that guy, he set the bar, enjoy it, definitely. They kind of got it figured out, bike setup, strategy, obviously fitness, and their skills is right. It's all at the top. So, it definitely teaches you those things, that's for sure. Myself, definitely I learned a lot in changes. I'll definitely be working on some this winter, and whether it's skills, fitness, or definitely bike setup, I'll have a few changes going into next year. So, yeah, I mean, it was still great. It was still, super fun. It's unfortunate that all the things happened mechanical, but it could be worse. I said before, when I got a flat on whatever, stage five, and I was even in the finale, and the parking brothers were there again, catching me, fixing my flat. I was like, could be worse, man. Could be in a helicopter or getting flown out. So it is what it is.
Yeah, that's very true. At the end of the day, you're back home, you're healthy, you're going into the off season, in good shape to let the body rest for a little bit and enjoy some free time, and then get back on it and get hammering for next year. And I guess you and I are big moto fantasy dorks. I guess with you look at that sport, training is everything. Where they've been doing it, there's kind of a set program for a lot of those riders. First year enduro's done. Looking at what you need to do training, there's, obviously it's not like Jerome's doing something that everybody else isn't doing. Are you looking into the off season going, I think I need to try this out. I need to do that. What is the off season going to look like for you in terms of training?
I think one of the biggest mistakes I made this year was I took on too much schedule-wise. I raced an entire Enduro World Series and then the Oregon Enduro Series and then some other stuff within the U.S. So it was nonstop April through October. So I took on too much, and I just kind of burnt out or fatigued, whatever you want to call it, throughout the year. That's the middle of the year and so on. So next year, focus on the Enduro World Series. And then as far as training and preparing, across the board, everything needs to be worked on. But my sprint power is improved vastly when it comes to the shorter stages. So I'll change it up, and hopefully Red Bull has got some good ideas or some things we can learn after testing is done and all that fun stuff. And then... skills-wise, I got to work on my awkward turns and all that stuff that Frenchie's is super good at, man. We had, when it comes to just, a turn that, say, doesn't flow or doesn't seem fun, the Frenchies or the Europeans, they love that stuff. I don't know if they love it, but they're really good at it because it's just it's more familiar to them and they have more of it. Not compared to the stuff we have here in California or in Worcester. So those couple things I'll definitely be working on a lot this winter, and hopefully just get in a really good headspace and, like I said, take home nice and be fresher for the 7-race series, because racing at that level, you got to be there at the weekend and ready to go, not tired from flying from Utah and then, heading back over to France and you got jet lag and you just race. So, hopefully just those couple things to work on and, have fun, most of all. We're going to ride some bikes this winter.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, right, you get paid to ride a bike, and that's a truly, truly amazing and cool thing. And it was just interesting to see how the season developed and what, as somebody, I guess I'm technically considered media now, what everybody's going to do going into the off season, how are they going to adapt, is it, they're going to look at what Jared was doing. They're going to look at what you're doing. And they're looking at what Jerome's doing to try and figure out, how do you piece that puzzle together to become that ultimate all-around rider? And obviously,
yeah, it's so many things, right? You just can't be a good downhiller, it's been proven, or not proven, but it takes more than skills. It's a bit of a hybrid. You can be really fit and really skilled, and then have the strategy and a proper setup. So how do you just take one thing? It's you get so much to work on. You gotta be good at so many things across the board. So it's definitely a challenge, but it's also exciting to have that. like I said earlier, kind of keeps you on your toes and keeps it fresh.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, I guess looking forward to next year, some new venues and stuff. Was there a particular format that you loved more this year? Obviously, there's a Super Enduro format. There was a way that Whistler ran theirs. There was a way that Winter Park ran theirs. What was your feel with everything in terms of the way the weekends were run?
At the end of the year, my favorite venue would. Or style or enduro format was Whistler by far. Just I had a good balance of lift access, a variety of terrain, and then the climbing, the transfer stages in between. I thought it was just a really good mixture of all those, and it was a big day, single day. I like that as well. Not necessarily the 2 days. It's still good. I guess it's better for media, and I don't know, it's a lot of racing, but the 1 day, just some lip access, big day, sense of adventure. It was a Whistler kind of nailed that. And the Italian ones are very similar to that as well. No lift, but the same thing. Adventure, out there on the bike, you're exploring stuff. You're definitely covering ground, and it's just, I thought that style of fun as or should be the future of enduro, or at least at the EWS level.
Yeah, and that'll be, I know talking to Chris Ball and other guys, it'll be interesting to see how they roll out maybe some little different rule changes, how the rule book will probably be a little tighter next year, so people can't squirt between the cracks by interpreting things a little different, obviously, with the couple little mishaps that did happen and everything this year. But, I mean, I know for myself, looking at it, I couldn't have imagined a better first year for a new series, especially with the buy-in from all the riders and more importantly the sponsors, which, you know, hopefully they'll have some outside sponsors and continue to grow the sport and elevate it year after year into a bigger, more production level where maybe one day we have live coverage.
Yeah, who knows? I thought they did a really good job, and it was the first year, and everyone knew there was going to be some headaches, or it was going to be a learning curve. And the things that did come up, they handled it professionally, and at the moment they took care of it, and then they applied it so on. You know, just simple facts of like goal practicing and then marking courses, and just, you know, the adequate amount of tape. Chris Ball and all those guys are super on it, and they're always very open to ideas, or they always want feedback, good or bad, and it showed, because just it ran really smooth all year, and even aside from it just being its first year, it was surprisingly, you know, spot on. It could have been way worse. I have experienced a lot worse at other races and over the years, so kudos to them. Those guys killed it, man. They worked hard, and they showed.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was, obviously even this past weekend, you know, they cancel a stage, and now, you know, you guys are disappointed, but it just, the weekend still seems to go on flawless. Whistler, we have lightning delay. All the top guys are stuck in the roundhouse. They're not able to get up the peak. The day just still seemed, as I was up there a little bit beforehand, I'd literally gotten on the chair when the lightning cracked, that the day still went on very seamless. It was like, okay, you know what? Times, you know, we're running about 5 or 10 minutes behind schedule. That's A-okay. And, to run such a large scale, logistic nightmare, it was just amazing to see how smooth it was.
Yeah, they definitely have proven that they can run it smoothly. That's for sure. I feel like some of the organizers in the U.S. haven't quite figured that out. So hopefully they can, kind of get an idea of what's going on, and this is, EWS is showing that this is how you do it, and, you know, the timing is always right there, spot on. You get that just impromptu encounter, and they handle them professionally and efficiently, and set the bar. So yeah, it was making it easy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess when a series created by a former downhill racer himself, and partners in with, you know, highly established events like the, you know, Enrico Guala and Fred Glow and stuff like that, and with the Crankworks, I mean, you can't really go wrong. So I know it's I didn't even race, and I'm ready for the off season a bit, but I'm already, you know, counting down until springtime, until round one comes again, because it's, I think it's such an exciting format, and it's cool to see how the race develops with each rider, and how every rider's got their own adventure, and how things go for them over the course of the weekend. So I'm sure next year will be I'm sure next year is going to be a crazy one with everybody, you know, I'm sure changing up their programs a little bit, and they're going to come in there, and Enduro's here to stay, that's for sure.
I think it is. I really think it is. I don't know, some people think it's hype or whatever, but it's fun, and it's a format that's inviting and people enjoy, and it's on the bikes that we all have, and like I said, like you said, it's here to stay, and let's hope for many, many more great years ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so with all your travel this year, what's your any funny stories that stand out in your head in terms of classic moments with just for yourself, or that you witnessed with other riders taking place over the course of their weekend?
I can tell you, I wouldn't say it's funny, but it was that was kind of funny. Last weekend at Finale, after stage three, on the transfer stage to stage four, it was pretty tight. And it was nothing like the other transfer stages of the weekend where we got up there and we had half an hour, 45 minutes to chill before the start. But this one was, Adam Craig and I were in the climb and probably like 10, 15 minutes in, and we're watching the time, and we're like, holy crap, we only had like 20 minutes until we get to, until we need to get to the top of stage four. At this moment, like I said, it's not canceled. We have no idea. So we're all going, and we are going. It was a steady tempo, and wasn't a whole lot of chatting. It was pretty much like, hey, get up there because time's ticking. And Craig and I got up there, and we had maybe 6 or 7 minutes to spare. And Jerome, all those boys were there, and they made it within like 5 minutes of the start time. So it was tight, man. We were huffing and puffing, like I said. And it was, we were pretty much like amateurs, the women, they're all screwed. It was so tight. We were like, this is going to be a mess. And whatever. So it was go time, and we're already, Jerome's in the, you know, he's got the start, and he's got like a minute. And maybe like 10, 20 seconds before, all of a sudden, this Italian starts like waving his arms. Oh, no, 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 no go, no go, no go. And we're like, whoa, what's going on? Like, what happened now? Like, what's going on? Is this canceled? And we thought at first that they were going to postpone it because the transition was too tight. And a bunch of us were like, oh, hell no. Oh, no, 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 no. Everyone has got to suffer like we did, because it was a hammer fest to get to that. And so we were kind of, I wouldn't say pissed, but like we were kind of worked up because we didn't know what was going on. We just had this crazy Italian waving his arms at us saying, no, no, no. And we're like, there's still going on. That's postponed. Like, what is this? And obviously that it was canceled, and we finally got the correct information that, you know, it's being canceled. And so there was a moment where, you know, we were laughing but not laughing. It was a special one, and at the end of the day, it was like all of us really wanted to race that stage because it was probably the second best one of the weekend. Stage five is by far the best, but four is right up there. It was a moment. So after that, 50 of us, we followed Jerome down some other random trail, and 50 of us just bombed the local trails, and it was a pretty special moment. It was actually quite fun. All of us just riding bikes and trying to get back down to the pits. So I really enjoyed that. As much as it was crazy and it was a suffer fest, it was also unique, and at the end of the day, it all worked out, and we ended up riding our bikes, so, you know, just like on a normal weekend, just shred bike up again. So it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, that's cool to hear. Actually, it's almost like a fitting way to almost end the season. To everybody, you know, all the top dogs there get to shred down and have a good time, and there's no clock. And yeah, it's almost like shredding bike park laps with your buddies, you know, or going on a massive ride.
I wish I had a GoPro. It would have been the best footage ever. You know, Jared, Jerome, Fabian, Renee, Justin, Leoff, everybody were in it. It was sick. We all of us don't have a clue where we're going, minus Jerome. So we're just like falling in, and it was a good time. It was a special moment.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, that's, yeah, I mean, it's such a great year. I mean, any parting thoughts before we let you go here this morning?
I can't wait for Whistler to open next year. we talked enough about the Enduro World Series, and that's all going to be great and fun times, but I'm looking forward to getting back to Whistler, and it sounds like I might get there in June and July next year for some other things, maybe some filming. So off season's here. That means moto season, and get to just enjoy the time off and not live in that gear bag. So let's get ready for A1 and watch the moto season go down and ride some bikes.
Sounds good, dude. Sounds good. Well, obviously, we want to take you. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on the Off Track Show and everything. And you're part of show number one. So it's great to kind of wrap up the summer and wrap up the season with you here today. And yeah, like you said, A1 coming in January. You and I can be fantasy motocross geeks for the entire winter. And obviously, we wish you all the best with training and everything else. So.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for supporting the series and just mountain biking in general.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man. It's the end of the day, we get to ride bikes, and that's a cool thing that we have. So
sounds good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Have a great off season, Curtis. Talk to you later.
Yep.
And that, folks, is our final guest here of the Off Track Show this season. Kind of hard to believe. A little. Feeling a little sentimental about everything. It's crazy to think that earlier this spring that we started off with our first show recapping the Enduro World Series in Punta Ala. Of course, we had Curtis Keene and Daniel Lavis in studio there for our first one, where our technical skills weren't so great in terms of recording there on my end. And now we've wrapped it up. It was at 13, 14 shows later on. So I want to thank everybody who's actually taken the time to tune in, listen to the show. Either you're downloading it, obviously, off of iTunes, and if you're not, go on there, subscribe. They're all up there for free. It doesn't cost you anything. And of course, or you're catching it off of the Podomatic website. Of course, bikemag.com. This whole show probably wouldn't be possible without them getting it into your hot little hands, into your mobile devices, onto your laptop. BikeMag, they supported this right from the start. They believed in what I wanted to produce. And I'm just glad that all of you guys were able to share the adventures and join us here from start to finish. So where does that leave us now going into the off season? Well, maybe a bit of downtime here. Being in Whistler, the bike park is closed as of last weekend, or the weekend before, sorry. And it's actually even more sad times. You know, it really hits home when you cruise by on a sunny day like we did earlier this afternoon. And the bulldozer's out in full force. Yes, the boneyard that miraculously is there each and every summer when most of you come check us out during Crankworks and other times is nothing but a flat strip of dirt. The bulldozer was out in full force yesterday and today. And that is the signal that winter is coming. The snow guns are already up on the hill. The lights are on in the evening. The snow level's been creeping a little bit lower, as we saw last night. So that is the end of the Off-Track Show here. Coming at you guys from Whistler, BC, as always. Again, Tristan Merrick, your host, taking you guys through each and every round. And I can't thank you all enough for joining in every time we have one of these. And hopefully you guys will be joining us again in the future. Some big plans for the off season here to try and step up the show quality-wise, get some more guests. Got some really cool ideas in the bag. So, of course, stay up to date with everything on our Twitter account. And that is @off_trackMTB. That's where we post where we'll have all our guests when shows are available. So won't be very regular stuff throughout the winter. Obviously not much racing going on as we cover the two largest race series in the world. But we've got some cool ideas, maybe some kind of tell us a story theme with one-off special guests where we'll have them in studio or online for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes to catch up with them. So again, stay up to date on Twitter. And of course, so for all your regular news in the off-season, bikemag.com. Again, your one-stop shop for all things mountain bike related. So without further ado, again, thank you very much for tuning in. Tristan Merrick here. Thank you to all my guests. Of course, thank you to all the racers that they made it through successfully, staying healthy this year. Of course, congrats to Jerome Clements and Tracy Mosley for taking the Enduro World Series overall. Steve Smith and Rachel Atherton just smashing it on the World Cup downhill side there. An exciting year of racing. We're going into the off season. Hopefully everybody's healthy, training hard, and I can't wait to see what we've got come next spring. So from here at the Off Track Studio, have a good night, and we will catch you guys next spring.
Down, and the flames went higher, and it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher, and it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.